Cleansing by Virginia Brandt Berg.
If you'll earnestly climb the ladder of faith, you can reach the great and mighty things God's Word tells us about in Jeremiah 33:3. The firm foundation upon which the ladder of faith must rest is the Word of God. For God's Word says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away." It's useless to start up the ladder unless you are going to take God at His word. It really takes effort and wisdom to climb the ladder of faith and receive answers to prayer. Many people are satisfied with a very mediocre, common existence, although the Lord has said, "I have come that ye might have life and have it more abundantly." Some are not willing to climb up to that because it does take such effort sometimes, and it takes a clean heart and perseverance. The first rung in the ladder of faith is a definite cleansing of the heart. When you come to God seeking the fulfillment of His promises, you must have a clean heart. He can't pour His blessings into an unclean vessel. His word says, "If our hearts condemn us not, then we have boldness to come to the throne of mercy and receive help in the time of need." It's impossible to have boldness if there's condemnation upon your heart. Hidden sin robs the heart of that confidence. God sees the things that are hidden behind the door of the heart. He can't bless you as long as there's unrepented sin in your heart. So quick, so eager is God to forgive the repentant heart that He says, "The broken and contrite heart He will not despise." But there's one thing God can't do. That is, He cannot forgive sins which are not repented of. The story is told of two men who were attending a communion service, and the one saw his companion on his knees at the altar partaking of the sacrament. And he whispered to him, "Sam, what y'all down on your knees for taking the sacrament when I saw you last night stealing a pig?" To his surprise, his friend replied, "Y'all don't think I's gonna let a little thing like a pig keep me out of the kingdom, does ya?" He went right on praying and taking the sacrament. And that's about the attitude of many a person, that God will overlook a few things here and there and just ignore them if they're hidden and out of sight. Some feel you can leave sins buried in the past and God will forget them, like a debt that is forever forgiven because of lapse of time. But sin is only forgiven when it is confessed and repented of. All that God asks is obedience to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin needs to be brought out into the light in humility. Confess to the Lord. He quickly forgives and cleanses the moment He sees genuine repentance. That's the way to start climbing your ladder of faith. Because prayer is hindered when there's condemnation upon your heart, that awful pressure that's in your soul when you go to pray and you feel, "God doesn't hear me and God doesn't answer my prayers like other people. I'm not as good as other people. I'm so unworthy." Such condemnation will definitely hinder your faith and your boldness in prayer. Therefore, by a definite act of confession and repentance, you clear away all such hindrances and rid yourself once and for all of such condemnation. To the one who has, by a definite act of faith, put his past with every sin beneath the blood of Calvary, there is no condemnation. True, the enemy of God will try to put condemnation in your heart, but if you obey 1 John 1:9, he can't do so. God's word says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." That's the reason a clean heart is so necessary, so that you can come boldly to the throne of mercy. A heart that's truly right with God cannot easily be accused by the devil. Martha Snell Nicholson wrote, "I sinned, and straightway post-haste Satan flew before the presence of the Most High God and made a railing accusation there. He said, 'This soul, this thing of clay and sod, has sinned. 'Tis true that he has named thy name, but I demand his death, for thou hast said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Shall not thy sentence be fulfilled? Is justice dead? Send now this wretched sinner to his doom. What other thing can a righteous ruler do?' And thus he did accuse me day and night, and every word he spoke, O God, was true." Then quickly one rose up from God's right hand, before whose glory angels veiled their eyes. He spoke, "Each jot and tittle of the law must be fulfilled. The guilty sinner dies. But wait, suppose his guilt were all transferred to me, and that I paid his penalty. Behold my hands, my side, my feet. One day I was made sin for him and died that he might be presented faultless at thy throne." And Satan flew away. Full well he knew that he could not prevail against such love, for every word my dear Lord spoke was true. Oh, my friend, there's room at the cross for you. God's word makes it so plain. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and its grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have found him a friend and have turned from the sins they have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. Iris Stanfill, 1946. God will answer prayer for you. He's still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.